Another thing I think I would look at today is a very familiar to all of us. I figure I would go back again and look at it again. It's been my experience of speaking to people about the Bible or salvation or election or any parts of the Bible. Many people don't understand that the whole Bible is written by God. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is God-breathed. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they said to me that only the red letters in the Bible, in the New Testament, is the Word of Christ. Whoever decided to write the letters in red did a terrible thing. That should have never been. They keep insisting to me that only the red letters in the New Testament is the Word of God. So I asked them, what about the Old Testament, which has not written in red letters? Isn't that also the Word of God? No answer. What about the book of Matthew? What about Genesis? What about any parts of the Old Testament? Isn't that also written by God? They couldn't answer the question. So they keep insisting that parts of the Bible is not God. So what part of the Bible is written by man? No answer. And no matter what I say to this person, they keep insisting what they believe to be the Bible is the Bible. And many, many people are like that nowadays. That parts of the Bible is written by man and part is written by God and whatever they believe. And that is so wrong. Because if we don't believe that the entire Bible is written by God, we don't have a leg to stand on. We don't have a leg to stand in at all. The entire Bible is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. If you look at Jeremiah 36, God tells us how we wrote the Bible. All the Bible. God tells us that holy men of God wrote as God the Holy Spirit moved them. The entire Bible, whether we understand what we're reading or not, the whole Bible is God. It came from the very mouth of God. In Jeremiah 36, verse 1, we read, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying." See where it came from? Came from Jehovah. The entire Bible. "Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every one from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquities and their sin." Then Jeremiah called Baruch. He was a scribe. He was a secretary of Jeremiah, the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. So is he. God put the words in Jeremiah's mouth. And Jeremiah is dictating it to Baruch. And he was just simply writing it down. Writing it down. "Which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, thou go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth," in the mouth of Jeremiah, "the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplications before the Lord, and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people." So you see how God put the words in these people's mouths, and they simply write it. In other parts of the Bible, God tells us that the holy men of old, of God, the Holy Spirit, move them. The entire Bible is the Word of God. And look at verse 16. In verse 16 of the same chapter, "Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, that they were afraid, both one and but one another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. And you remember this king, he is going to burn the word of God when he heard it. In verse 17, and they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth. This is Jeremiah speaking to him. And I wrote them with ink in the book. So all he was just doing, he was just writing down what Jeremiah was telling him as God put the words in Jeremiah's mouth. You see. And in verse, look at verse 32. Then took Jeremiah another roll. Remember when the king burnt the Bible? And here God is telling us, he says, he's going to have Jeremiah now to write again the things that he already, that the king burnt. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burnt in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. So you see, God wrote the entire Bible. Absolutely, no doubt about it. But there are those who don't understand how God has written the Bible. First, they say that God wrote this part and he didn't write this part. This part was written by man and whatever it is. How sad that is. The whole Bible is written, came from the very mouth of God, from the infinite mind of God. God wrote the Bible. See, we have to start out with that. If you don't believe that the entire Bible is the Word of God, as I said, you don't have a leg to stand on. You see, either the Bible is the Word of God, you believe it, or it's not. But we're going to look at how God has written the Bible. A lot of people run into trouble. If you speak to somebody about the Bible and they don't understand that God wrote the Bible in parables, they don't understand that. So when you go tell somebody that, well, you know, the day of return of Christ, the church age is over, and you tell them that, you know, we're at the end of the world, 2011, well, show me in the Bible where it says that. May 21st, 2011. You know, they're going to look at you, you lose your mind. They don't understand how God has written the Bible. So when you tell them any part, whether it's by election or anything you're talking to them about, they can't see it because they don't understand that God has written the Bible in parables. So when you tell them these things, then they're going to argue with you. They're going to think you're losing your mind. How can you know that the day of Christ is there? Nobody knows the day or the hour. See, they take that verse and they hide behind it. They take it and run with it. Because they don't understand that God wrote the Bible in parables. And the Bible is very difficult to understand, you see. Let's look at Proverbs. Let's look at some verses in the Bible. And there are many other verses we could look at, but Proverbs chapter 1. You know, the Proverbs, that's a giveaway right there. The book of parables. Book of parables. The word Proverbs is the word parables. And here we read, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. You know, ultimately, Christ is wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom and understanding and so forth. To know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and he'll spiritually become, we can become wise when we come born again, because God has made unto us wisdom, and he has given us spiritual ears to hear. We're going to hear, the true believers, and will increase learning. See, we're going to, God, as God opened our understanding, we're going to increase in learning. We're going to learn more about the truth of the gospel as God, as we study and pray for wisdom. You know, we're not relying on our own understanding, but we're relying on God as he opened our, the Bible to us, and particularly in our day, because we're increasing learning, because now we understand that we're at the end of the world, the church age is over, and these things pertaining to the end of the world, we're increased learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And the Bible is our counselor, you know. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. To understand a parable, so we have to look for the interpretation of it. What does God mean when he's speaking to us in these languages? We have to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. You see, the interpretation of it. The words to the wise and their dark sayings. So see, it's a deeper meaning there when God is speaking to us from the pages of the Bible. They're dark sayings. You're looking for a deeper spiritual meaning. And God goes on. So you see, for instance, look at Proverbs 9, verse 9. God tells us the same thing there. Proverbs 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. See, God has made us just. You know, as we study the Bible and as God opens our understanding, we're going to increase in learning about what God is speaking about. Remember, some things in the Bible shut up. We couldn't know such things about some things in the Bible until our day. We are increasing in learning. We're learning more about God's judgment process in the last few months. You see, and when we examine these things throughout the Bible, we see that it's so. We are increasing in learning about these things. No, particularly we didn't know that faith was a work. We're learning these things. See, now is God timing that he's going to open up all these difficult passages to us in the Bible. Let's look at Job. Another passage in Job. Job chapter 27. Job 27 verse 1. There we read. God is telling us how he's written the Bible. Moreover, Job continued his parable. See? Parabolic language. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, and you read on. You see, it's parables. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We got to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. If you look also in Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verse 1. Psalm 49, verse 1. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. God wants everybody to hear this. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable, you see, and I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Is God speaking about a musical instrument? No. Harp, as we declare the word of God. We're declaring the word of God. It says, I will incline mine ear to a parable, and I will open my dark sayings upon a harp. And God goes on. You see, there's a deeper meaning there we should look for as we study the Bible. But there are those who just take these verses as they see it, and they say, you know, they're taking the literal meaning of it. You can't do that. You're going to run into a lot of trouble. It's just not going to add up. Is God speaking like in Revelation 20? Is he speaking about a literal 1,000 years? No. You know, is there literal beast is going to come out of the earth in Revelation? No, we got to look for the spiritual meaning. We have to come spiritual with spiritual. We got to look for the deeper meaning. If we don't do that, we won't come to truth. We got to follow the rules that God lays down in the Bible, that we compare spiritual things with spiritual. And he's speaking about the land of Israel. We're going to dwell there forever. Is it the literal land over there? No. We know the world is going to be destroyed shortly. So you can't be that. You have to look for a deeper meaning to what God is speaking about. Look at another familiar passage in Psalm 78. Same book, Psalm 78. God is insisting how he has written the Bible. In Psalm 78, here in verse Verse 1. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to my words of my mouth. So the same idea there. The word, the Bible came from the God's mouth. You see, I will open my mouth in a parable. See, God is telling us how it's written in the Bible. And I will utter dark sayings of old. That's how he has written it. In parables, in parables. And until we understand that and start looking for a deeper meaning, then we will never come to truth. You know, there are those people in those churches that believe that God is speaking to them. They think that, you know, it's a wrong interpretation, wrong understanding. Their spiritual eyes are not open to truth. They don't understand how God has written the Bible. So no matter how you talk to this person about certain things in the Bible, they won't see it. They can't see it. They're spiritually blinded. You see, if God so wished to open their eyes to truth, then they'll see it. But other than that, they can't. And it could be plain as day. They're spiritually blinded. They don't understand that God, the way how God has written the Bible. They're taking a literal, literal thing. That this is it. And no matter, then you try to say to them, well, what about this verse over here? How do you, you know, what about this verse? What about that verse? They won't look. They can't see it. They can't see it because their spiritual eyes are not open. Let's look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. We're going to look at some parables. Matthew 13. You remember the parable of the sower of the seed? Now, Christ, he gave us this parable, and then he went on to explain it. He went on to explain what he meant. Look at verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now we have to. Then he tells us all this information here in verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. You see, he tells us, he's speaking to them in parables. And you look at, turn over to verse 10. Let's pick up at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? You know, Lord, Jesus, why are you speaking to them in our parables? And he says in verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. See, the true believers, as God opened their eyes, it's given to us to know these things, because God opened our spiritual eyes to truth. But he's saying unto these people, it's not given. They're not going to know it. God is the one who has to open our spiritual eyes. Yes, intellectually we could understand a lot about the Bible. We could know a lot, you know, about the Bible. But it's not in our hearts, you see. God has to open our heart. You know, having an intellectual understanding of the Bible doesn't make somebody saved. Yes, somebody could come out the church. Yes, they should. But that doesn't make them saved either. God has to do a work of grace within our hearts. We could do all these things. We could understand all these things. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, a person could do all these things. He'd give his ultimate sacrifice, his life, his body to be burnt. But if he doesn't have the love of God in him, what does it profit that person? That person is not saved. You see, God has to do work of grace within us and save us. I don't want to read the whole thing, but verse 18. Look at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Christ now is going to explain. Disciples, why are you speaking them in parables? And then in verse 18 on down, you're going to see where God now is going to explain to them what he truly meant. And that's how we have to approach the Bible. We have to look for that deeper spiritual meaning. It was written in parabolic form. So we have to look for the meaning of it. This is the perfect example of how God has written the Bible. he wrote it this way, and then we have to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. And here God, Christ is now, he spoke to them in parables this way, and now he comes down here, now he's going to explain it. And that's how we all of us should read the Bible. Look for the deeper spiritual meaning. You see, for many, many years, many of us thought it was going to be an eternal damnation. Were people going to be roasting in hell forever? And now we see, well, oh, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be annihilated. So the true believers, you know, we always, when we learn something in the Bible, we're not going to take the word of a man. But if this person is a faithful teacher of the Bible, and is proven to be a faithful teacher of the Bible, when they teach something new from the Bible, what should we do? Take that person's word for it? No. We're going to search it out in the Bible. Is this so? And if it's found to be true, we praise God for it. We praise God for it, you see. But here Christ explained what he meant when he spoke to them in parables, and he went on to explain it. He gave us the meaning, what he really was speaking about. And that's how he has written a lot of the Bible in a parabolic form. Let's look at verse 24. And he says, another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. Another parable, you see. Verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. There's a hint to go back to the Old Testament, the verses we just read in Psalms. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And particularly in our day, what has been kept secret from the foundation of the world? Pertaining to the end of the world in which we live. We didn't know a lot of information pertaining to the end of the world until our days, being kept secret by God. And now we're learning more and more about the end of the world. You see, in verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. See, they're always asking Christ, explain to us what you just said. You know, explain to us that parable. And Christ, he would go on to explain what he meant, because he spoke to them in parables. At least the disciples recognized that Christ was speaking to them in parables. And so as we read the Bible, we have to always have to look, keep in mind, is there a deeper spiritual meaning to what God is saying to us? We should always search for the spiritual meaning, you see. Look at Matthew 21. Turn over to Matthew 21. Let's start Matthew 21, verse 32. He says, verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and he believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when he had seen it, repented not afterward, that he might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard. See, another parable again. Another parable, and we should search for the spiritual meaning. And go over to Matthew 24. You know, in Matthew 24, he's speaking. God gives a lot of information about the tribulation period and the end of the world. And look in verse 32. Verse 32 of Matthew 24. Now learn a parable, you see, of the fig tree. You got to figure out, what does a fig tree represent? Is he speaking about a little tree, a literal fig tree? He can't be speaking about that. We know it's pointing to Israel. To now learn the parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. You see, all this language here in Matthew 24 and all these verses, we have to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. If we don't do that, the scripture is not going to fit. You won't find truth. See, you can't look for a literal earthquake. You know, we can't look for, although there's been earthquakes throughout the history of the world. You know, when Christ says there, nation shall rise against nation, which nation is that? Well, we know that there's two kingdoms in the world that's against each other, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of Satan. Kingdoms against kingdom, nation against nation. You know, there's always been war throughout the history of the world. We know that God is not speaking about that. We have to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. And that's the way we ought to approach the Bible. And it takes study. It takes work. You know, we have to spend time in the Bible. You know, the more I read the Bible, I see that I don't know anything. You know, I don't know anything. That's how we ought to approach the Bible. Oh, Lord, you teach me. You know, what do I know? But we have to follow the rules that God has set forth to us how we ought to study the Bible. If we don't, we will never come to truth. We're going to always go down the wrong path because God has given us the rules how we are to study the Bible. You see, let's look at another familiar verse. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Here God tells us, study. You know, can't be lazy. Studying takes work. It takes time, and we have to always pray. Oh, Lord, open my eyes. Give me understanding. You know, we have to approach the Bible that way. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ought to study. Yeah, that word study there is the Greek word 4704. And it means, one of the ways this is translated is endeavoring. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's translated as endeavoring. You can look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start reading at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, in love, endeavoring. You see that word? It's the word here translated as study. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That same word there that is translated as study. It's translated up a couple other ways as labor or as a diligence. Let's look at another where it's used in Hebrews. Chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 4, let's pick up the context there in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to read to verse 11. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, same word there, study. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So the same word there is translated as labor here in Hebrews chapter 4. And also, let's look at 2 Peter. Turn back over to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, I believe. Let's read 14, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. You know, we have to be diligent students of the Bible, you know. We shouldn't be you know, casual readers of the Bible, but a true believer, he's going to be a diligent student of the Bible. That word there, diligent, is the word study, that he may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So you see, he used these three ways in the Bible. And look at a couple of them. Look at 2 Peter. Let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians, I believe. Is it 1 Corinthians? I believe I wrote. First Corinthians chapter 2. But here God is just using 1 Thessalonians 2:17. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. That's the one. Thank you, Bob. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Were there endeavored? See? So as we study, you see that word study is translated as endeavored, labor. We labor in the Word of God, and we ought to study as God commands us to do so. You know, I know that many of us may not be, you know, God gives people different abilities, some to study, or you know, but we ought to at least be spending time reading the Bible. And this thing I spoke about last time was that during this new year, as we entered and start 2009, our desire ought to be spending more time in God's Word and in prayer. You see, that ought to be our desire, that when we look back over last year, how much time have we spent reading the Bible? How much time have we spent studying the Bible? But not only do we have to read the Bible, but we have to pray, oh Lord, help me to be obedient to what I've read. We have to pray for obedience. We have to read the Bible. Read it. Consistently read it, read it, read it. But we also have to pray for obedience. We have to read it, oh Lord, help me to be obedient to what I've read. Because we are for ourselves, we can't do it. We have to pray to God for obedience. Remember, God tells not to only to be hearers of the word, but be doers of it. But be doers of it. Do what he tells us to do. You see, there are those who say, oh, I'm reading the Bible. But if you're not doing what God tells you to do, then what are we doing? Pray for obedience. Do what he says. Remember, God says to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And keeping God's commandments is doing what he says. You see, he said the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And we actually have to do it. He gives us command. Like, I'm married, so God says, husband, love your wives. I have to do it. You do what he says. Children, obey your parents. You do it. You see, you have to do what he says. You know, these things. We can't just simply just read it and read it, read God's word and read it. We have to actually do what he says. So we have to spend time searching the Bible. Study it. See how he has written the Bible, because as we know that God has hidden truth within the Bible. And we have to search it out. And it takes time. We've got to turn that TV off. You know, we've got to turn that ball game off. We have to spend our time more wisely in God's Word, because we know time is coming to a close. We know the very day of Christ's return. So what ought to be doing? What are we doing with this short time, especially if you know you're not saved? What should you be doing? Reading the Bible, because Christ tells us, you know, God's not going to change his law because of being lazy. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're going to put yourself under the hearing of the word of God. And many of us, if we look at our schedule, we waste a lot of time doing nothing. Doing nothing. Don't we? To really look at our time, you know, spend that hour watching TV, or I know kids, I have four kids of my own, time on those game things. You know, it's time being wasted, really. you know what? I know a child is a child. Come on, you can't deny the, I mean, I was a kid once. I played. I had my toys. You know. But it comes a time where you have to put these things away. Put it away and go in your room, close the door. Any one of us could do this. And we open the Bible for half an hour or hour and just simply reading God's word and pray for obedience. If we look at our schedule and at what we're doing with our time, you'd be amazed at 24 hours how we've wasted it. How we've wasted it. You know, that shouldn't be if we call ourselves children of God. Yeah, I know we have to spend time going to work and, you know, and a mother has to take her to her home and all these things are important. But it comes a time where get that quiet time. It could be midnight. It could be 3 a.m. in the morning when everybody's asleep. Or whatever time is works for you, we're going to sit and we're going to listen to the Bible. In prayer and Bible reading on our own, and just simply listening to the Bible. You see, listening to God speak to me. And we speak to God through our prayers. Remember I said last week that Christ tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Who understands your situation better than God? You could try to tell somebody something, but they don't really get it because they're not in your situation. But God does. He understands it perfectly, better than I do, better than you do. He understands your situation, but this, you know, time is precious, and it's just simply, you know, the clock is just keep on. The days are turning, the weeks are turning, the months are turning, and before you know it, this year is over, and then we're looking at 2010, and a few months after, we're at the end of the world. So we have to, you know, spend time reading the Bible. In Acts 17, we have to be this way. In Acts 17, verse 9, remember the Bereans? The Bereans, what did they do? They spend time. You hear these things are being taught in the Bible, you hear it. You know, you hear these doctrines, the end of the world, annihilation, judgment day. Are these things really so? And you're going to be like the Bereans, you search it out. You search it out. And if it's true, you praise God for it. You know, you praise God for it. That's how we ought to be with the Word of God. We ought to study the Bible. We see, especially when you open your eyes to see how God has written the Bible, you know, the light should go off. Oh, this is how God has written the Bible. You see, let's look at Proverbs 25. It's another familiar passage to us. In Proverbs 25, remember how what God tells us there in Proverbs 25? Let's start in verse 1. Proverbs 25, verse 1. There we read, these are also proverbs. They're parables. See how God has written the Bible in a parabolic form. We've got to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. These are also proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal the thing, but the honor of kings to search it out. See how God has written the Bible? He has hidden truth within the Bible. And he has written it in parabolic form. He's written it in parables. And the true believers, we're going to search it out. What is God saying from this passage? And we compare spiritual things with spiritual. Look at is that verse there? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another familiar fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There we read verse 9 to 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. So we're looking at how God has written the Bible. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? So the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So you see, we got to search these things out in the Bible. These are spiritual things, and as true believers, we are going to search them out. And he goes on. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See? Spiritual things with spiritual. You see? And he goes on, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we become saved, we become spiritually minded. And we're going to look for the deeper spiritual things in the Word of God. Because we know that the Bible is written in parables. Christ will say, the kingdom of heaven is like a man taking a journey. What does that mean? We have to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. Or else we're going to go down a blind alley. We won't come to truth. We have to recognize how God has written the Bible. He has written it in parabolic form. And we have to look for the deeper spiritual meaning. There are those who are taking a lot of things in the Bible literal. And they're not going to come to truth that way. So we know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we're going to search for the heavenly meaning. The heavenly meaning. That's when we come to the gospel. The truth of whatever Christ is speaking about. Yeah, let's close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy word. And we pray, O Lord, that as we endeavor to study thy word, that you might lead us into truth. And we know from time to time that you open certain things to us. And we praise thee for it, because all praise and glory goes to thee. For whatever truth we have, we can't take any credit for it. We have to give all the praise and glory to thee. And those of us who have come to truth, we can't take any credit, none whatsoever, because we're no smarter or better than anyone. We're all sinners in thy sight, and we all deserve to be thrown in hell and to be destroyed forever. It's only by thy grace that we do understand a little of what you're speaking to us about. Lord, we pray for all the activities of this day, and we pray that all things may be done decently and in order to the praise of thy glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back for our second Bible study.